to Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Andy Morrison, and each week we focus on a topic that's important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington, and we're happy to have in the studio this morning Ms. Theo Boots, the Executive Director of Southwest Indiana for the American Red Cross. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, thank you very much for being in the studio today. The Red Cross is this wide and this deep. You guys do so many things, and there's no way that we can touch on everything today, but we're going to touch on some things.
Awesome. Yes.
Let's start off with you. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm actually live in Posey County, so close to Vandenberg County, and I have been working for the Red Cross as their executive director for almost 4 years. Wow. And before that, I was in Washington, Indiana a lot as well, because I was the president of Junior Achievement, and Junior Achievement is active here in this community as well. So I know several folks, and there's good people here in Daviess County.
Very good. How'd you get involved with the Red Cross from Junior Achievement? Was it just running in the same circles with the same people a little bit?
Their director, they needed a new director for the Red Cross, and a couple board members thought I would be the perfect person for this role.
Very good. And how's it been the last 4 years?
It's been great. I mean, I love Junior Achievement. I never thought I would leave Junior Achievement, but it was a opportunity, I guess, to learn more and learn more about the Red Cross, and it's been a great experience.
Very good. Well, let's kind of get into the Red Cross. The Red Cross, if folks don't know, have been around for decades and decades.
Right, over 130 years, and locally over 100 years.
Wow. See, I didn't even realize it was that long. As much as you know, kind of tell me how to get started. What was its original mission? Why was it founded?
Well, what people probably don't realize, we were founded, Clara Barton founded us during the Civil War, and because she felt like the military was not getting the proper services that they deserved. And that's how Red Cross was formed. And to this day, we still have a lot of programs for our services to armed forces. That's probably one of the one area of the Red Cross that people don't know as much about of what we do. And we are the first line of communication for our military. So what that means is, if you need your loved one home who's been deployed for a death in the family, a birth, an illness, what that reason might be, they contact the Red Cross. The Red Cross finds where your loved one is located, contacts the commander, verifies the reason that you say is the reason, and we can get through all that HIPAA stuff and all that great stuff, and we contact the commander. Now, the commander has to actually give the permission, but they have to go through the Red Cross to get that done. And if they are having trouble getting home, we will work with them as well to make sure that they can come home.
See, I never even realized that that was something that the Red Cross did.
Yes. We have a continuum of programs for our military as well, for our veterans and our military. And so we also provide programs through that whole continuum while they're deployed, after they're deployed. And we have a number that they can call for more assistance.
Well, I want to encourage people to find something to write on and find something to write with, because we're going to be giving lots of phone numbers and social media, this, that's, and the others, and you may want to write those down. Part of our conversation a little bit later on is going to be what do you do if you need some assistance, things like that. So get something to write with. Theo's going to have lots of information here in just a couple of minutes. But that's neat. I didn't realize that even locally, over 100 years.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. Well, let's kind of get into the meat of what we're talking about. I know that the Red Cross and other organizations are always looking for blood donations. That seems to be the thing that, at least in these days, the Red Cross is most known for. And this time of the year is no different. You guys are always looking for blood donations. Let's talk a little bit about blood donations. Just, we'll start from the top. Why do folks need to donate blood in the first place?
Well, it's perishable. It doesn't last that long, which a lot of people don't realize. It only has a shelf life of 42 days.
See, I didn't know that.
And platelets only have a shelf life of 5 days.
Wow.
You can donate, though, blood every 56 days. And so this time of year is coming off the holidays is always a tough time for us, because during the month of December and during the summer months, it's a difficult time to collect in a variety of reasons. But in the during December, people are busy with the holidays. They're traveling for vacations or visiting family. You tend to be sick more. And also during the month of December, blood drives can get canceled because of bad weather in some parts of our country. And so right now we are in a critical need for O negative blood. We need all types, but especially O negative. And O negative is that universal blood type. And that is the type of the blood that during an emergency, if there's not enough time to determine what type your blood is, they'll go to O negative. But like I said, if you have O negative, we most definitely would want you to consider donating blood, but we need really all types of blood.
So if you have some blood,
yes,
you are a wanted individual.
Well, every 2 seconds, a patient in the United States needs a blood transfusion.
2 seconds.
Every 2 seconds. Think about that. And this is still, I think, pretty impressive too. People probably don't realize in Indiana, our needs to supply our local hospitals, we need 350 units every day.
And a unit is what?
A unit of blood. When we collect from someone, it's a bag unit. They call it a unit of blood.
That's usually
what you would get from someone when they donate blood.
Okay.
One unit, one bag of blood. And so we need 350 of those every day just for Indiana.
So that's 350 people.
Right.
Basically, that have had to donate for one day.
Yes.
Wow.
Just to supply our local hospitals in Indiana.
These numbers stack up pretty quick.
Don't they? And it's not something you can keep on the shelf. Like I said, it only has a shelf life of 42 days. And we have such a good system of in the Red Cross that if somebody in Alaska is needing blood, you know, we our system can hopefully locally they can supply it, but if for some reason they couldn't, there's going to be someone, you know, we're going to get it for them to supply that need.
Very good. Well, that's interesting. Now in this day and age, and maybe you know, maybe you don't, it seems like they can kind of replicate everything under the sun these days in some way or another, but I guess they haven't found a way to do that with blood yet.
No, they cannot do that.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. You're right. It is amazing. And another something that's amazing to me, too, is that an estimated only 38% of our population is eligible to donate at any time. So think about that. Of our population, only 38%, you know, because you have to be a certain way and there's all different reasons. So and then of the 38%, only less than 10% actually do donate.
Mm.
So you might ask, well, why? Why is it so low? And we do ask our donors, and especially our new donors, and most often they say, well, you know, I never really thought about it. I wouldn't know where to begin. I don't know what's involved. You know, maybe a little intimidated by the needle thought.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, so, and January is National Blood Donor Awareness Month. So this is a good time to talk about our blood needs and really how easy it is to donate blood.
Well, let's talk about that. Who can donate blood? I know I said earlier that if you have blood, you're wanted, but that's not actually 100% accurate. Who can donate blood?
Well, actually, the best way, if you're not sure if you can donate because you might be on a certain prescription or maybe you've been out of the country and you're not sure, we prefer that you don't self-determine yourself because a lot of things have changed over the years. So the best way is to either go to redcrossblood.org or you go to redcross.org. It will take you there, but you can go redcrossblood.org or 1-800-RED-CROSS and talk to someone. And if you have thoughts, you know, if you can donate or not, because I know we had a big blood drive in Evansville on January 10th. Mm-hmm. And there were people, you know, I don't think I can donate because I couldn't donate for whatever reason. And they could. So things do change. So it's always good to ask. And I will have to be honest, I can't keep up on all that.
I understand it. I imagine. But that's good that they're always looking for, you know, maybe that thing we didn't know about.
That's right. Things do change. And so, and I I'm not smart enough to know all this stuff. Our folks in the Blood area are, and so I think it's best just to call that number.
Well, I looked up on redcross.org before we went on the air this morning, and it looks like the next local blood drive in the Washington area will be coming up on Thursday, February the 6th, which is a couple weeks away, at the Free Methodist Church on Troy Road in Washington from 2 until 6 in the afternoon. So
awesome.
So what happens at these blood drives? If somebody's done it before, they kind of know the routine. But as you said, it's a little intimidating to do it that first time. Everything's harder the
right.
first time. But what would you say to somebody that said, I can't do needles. I really want to help, but I just can't. What would you say to that person?
I'm that person who can't do needles, let me tell you. But I do. I just gave blood on January 10th myself. And I actually gave a Power Red donation. And I can perhaps, maybe if we have time later on, explain that. But so if you're in a big hurry, I would there's such a thing as called a rapid pass. You can do that online, and you answer a variety of questions, and that also will help determine your right. eligibility for donate blood. That shaves off about 15 minutes.
I know tattoos are a big thing.
Well, yes, and I'm not up on those yeah. regulations either. But so the actual time that it takes to just of donating the blood.
Mm-hmm. Time in the chair.
Yeah, time in the chair collecting the blood from you is only about 10 minutes.
Okay.
So you'll do a rapid pass or if you don't want to do it online, you can come and do it, you know, at the blood drive. And they'll ask a variety of questions and you answer those questions. Then they'll do like a mini physical, like check your blood pressure and those sorts of things and ask if you're feeling good today, because if you're not, we don't want you to donate blood. And then you will go and get prepped, and they will hook you up. And I prefer not to look at the needle. It actually really doesn't hurt. It's just a little prick.
I'm the same way. You can stab me if you want, but I can't look at it. I have to put my arm out and look
yep.
the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay. And then usually you by the time you get yourself worked up, it's over. So
right. It does. And I mean, there can't be anyone more fearful of needles than me. I just had my teeth worked on this week and he had to do needles. It's like,
oh boy.
I just have this fear, but it really, that part of it is, it's not a big deal. I, on January 10th, I did what was called a Power Red donation.
Okay.
And so what that ended up, a donor gives a concentrated dose of red cells, and that's part of the blood that's used every day for those needing transfusions as part of their care. Mm-hmm. So this type of donation is really interesting. It's the first time I did this. It uses an automated process that separates your red blood cells from the other blood components. And then safely and comfortably, you don't feel it, returns the plasma and the platelets back to you. So
wow.
It counted actually as two donations. It takes a little longer. Now, not all blood drives will be equipped to do this. So, and I don't know if the one next week is going to be equipped to do that. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And so it was something I tried for the first time.
Very good. And how was the experience?
It was good. It did take a little bit longer, but some people think they feel a little bit better because your components and everything, the plasma and the platelets come back to you. So,
you're not necessarily...
I really couldn't tell the difference on how, if I felt any different or not, mm-hmm. but anyway.
Well, very good.
I do have O negative blood. And so
you're the golden ticket. Then.
Yes.
They like you.
They wanted to do a Power Red on me. And yes, I got to walk the walk and talk the talk.
That's
so
right.
If I'm asking you all to do it, I'm going to do it myself.
Well, very good. We're talking with Ms. Theo Boots, the executive director of Southwest Indiana's Red Cross. And again, the local blood drive coming up in Washington is at the Free Methodist Church on Troy Road in Washington, coming up on Thursday, February the 6th from 2 until 6 p.m. And we've got some other things to cover. You had mentioned earlier that fire safety is a big deal. Is this the page you're looking for?
Yeah, I had some tips, and I probably know them off the top of my head, but I don't know what I did with them, but got them now. Yes, actually, people most know about Red Cross because of our response or disasters and, mm-hmm. and, you know, the big disasters that happen, they see it on TV. And, but actually our number one disaster, which will probably surprise a lot of people. Do you know the answer? What our number one disaster? Did you take a peek?
I know. Cause you told me before we started, but.
All right. It's home fires.
Yes.
And in fact, home fires kill more people than all other disasters combined. And this is the time of year that sometimes we have more fires because it's cold and you could be heating your house and, with a fire wood burner. And so there are some tips and I like, if we have the time, I'd just like to talk about that. So, we would like for you to practice a home fire escape plan with your children at least twice a year. So what does that mean? So make sure you have two ways out of your house in case a fire happens and you've talked with your children about how you would get out of the house if a fire happens. You have 2 minutes to get out of your house when the smoke alarm goes, a fire alarm goes off, because most people will perish because of the smoke inhalation. Mm-hmm. So when that fire alarm goes off, don't worry about taking money, my purse, my phone, get out of the house.
Right.
Find a spot that your family can meet, because if people get out the front or to get out the back, they may not know you're out if you don't have a safe place to meet outside the home. And what that does, that helps people, the firemen, from going in the house looking for you if you all have a safe place to meet.
That puts them at risk as well.
That's right. Absolutely. Keep matches and lighters and other stuff like that in secure locations out of the reach of children. Most important thing is make sure you have smoke alarms. You would not believe how many people don't have working smoke alarms. Or if they have them, they're older than 10 years. And here's another thing that a lot of people don't realize. I did not either until I started at the Red Cross. If you test your smoke alarm, as we often do twice a year when we change, mm-hmm. Times, and you hear the buzzer,
right.
You're like, oh, my smoke alarm's working.
Right.
Well, that is going to tell you that the batteries are working, because the components that detect the smoke start to evaporate after 10 years.
See, I didn't know that.
Yes, I didn't know that. And so it may not detect that smoke to go off. So replace your smoke alarms. I'm going to give some numbers. Like you said, you're going to allow enough time to give some numbers. And right now, we have some smoke alarms that we could come in and install for you. We're doing that, we'd go over some really quick fire prevention tips. Our smoke alarms that we have are 10 years, and so you never have to change the battery.
Right.
We still want you to check them twice a year.
The other issue sometimes you run into, some of the new homes have them built in to the wiring of the house. So you're not replacing batteries. So you may not even.
Well, that's true. And we, cause that has to be a licensed electrician to replace those. So we couldn't replace those, but we could put one of ours with the batteries up next to it. But you're right. Just keep in mind, if your smoke alarms, if they don't have an age on them, they're probably older than 10 years.
Mm. Well, I'll have to take them down
and check that.
Maybe there's a date somewhere on the back or something.
If they're yellow, they're older than 10 years.
That's probably a good point, too.
We go into so many homes that they either don't have any or they don't work. And they don't realize they don't work.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. So.
Right.
Very good. Well, we're talking with Ms. Theo Boots, the executive director of Southwest Indiana's Red Cross. And Theo, believe it or not, we're almost running out of time already.
Okay, this has been fun.
But I want to get to, if I'm someone that's listening and I need some kind of assistance, whether it be the fire alarms you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
or I've had a house fire, I need some help, or whatever it might be, what does that person need to do?
Well, I have three numbers. I'm going to start with the one number that can get you anywhere you want to go. And that's that 1-800-RED-CROSS or redcross.org.
Okay.
1-800-RED-CROSS or redcross.org. If you have experienced a disaster, I have a 24/7 emergency phone number for those who have experienced a disaster. And that's 888-684-1441. And that's 888-684-1441.
I will tell you, we'll put these on our website as well.
Okay. So we'll and I'll give you this card.
Yeah.
And then if you services armed forces, so if you your loved one's deployed and they need to come home for a death or some reason you think there is a valid reason that they need to come home, this number is 877-272-7337. Now, if you call the 1-800 number, you'll eventually get there, but these other numbers are directly to these departments. And if you put them on your website, that's awesome. That will help your listeners to get to it a little faster.
Very good. Well, Theo, we've almost ran completely out of time already. What's the takeaway? What do you want to leave people with for this particular interview?
Well, there's so many takeaways, but we've already covered a lot. But one that we haven't covered is Red Cross is a volunteer organization. Our Red Cross workforce is over 96% volunteers. Think about that. So many of our programs we talk about are operated by volunteers. And it is so important to have local volunteers from the local community because they're going to respond faster in Washington, Indiana, if they're coming from Daviess County, than opposed if they're coming from Vigo County or if they're coming from Vandenberg County. And we have so many different volunteer opportunities. And it's not all responding to disasters. It's a wide variety. You can do them from your home, some volunteer opportunities. You can do them from our office, or you can do them on the road. So we encourage you to contact us and talk to us about what might be interested of you. Now you can go again to redcross.org and you'll see how to volunteer and you can learn more about it that way. And somebody will call you and talk to you about some opportunities that we would have.
Very good. And I'm assuming that, there's some background checks and some other things that have to happen, but once you're into the system, is it kind of up to me to determine how much time to donate, or do you ask, hey, can you do this for an hour or do that for an hour, or help with this blood drive or that blood drive?
Well, once you go on to redcross.org, you'll fill out your application, and then they might ask you, on the application, what you might be interested in, but somebody's going to call you. We call it our intake process. Somebody's going to call you. They're going to go over things with you to find out, what do you really want to do? What's your skill set? What do you want to learn maybe about? And then the requirements of various different positions, some takes more time to train than others, but it's up to you. Where's your interest and how much time do you have? And we can find something for anybody.
Anybody. Okay. Anybody. Very good. Well, we have just scratched the surface. I want to have you back in the near future.
Okay.
And we'll dive some more into what the Red Cross does. But unfortunately today we are plumb out of time.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. And thanks for taking the time to come in on Focus on the Community this morning. Focus on the Community has been sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, The General, 95.9 and 101.3 FM, as well as 1580 a.m. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's programming and visit past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. This is Andy Morrison inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.